So, goodbye. If you have kids ages 4 through 11, they meet now downstairs with some adults, so they won't be running wild outside. Our scripture reading this morning, Denise Shiner is going to come and read, and I'm going to ask you to do something that we don't always do, and for that is for the standing, if you would stand for the reading of God's word. Would you stand, please?
Our scripture today is from 1 Timothy chapter 4, verses 1 through 10. The Spirit clearly says that in later times some will abandon the faith and follow deceiving spirits and things that taught by the demons. Such teachings come through hypocritical liars whose consciences have been seared as with hot iron. They forbid people to marry and order them to abstain from certain foods which God created to be received with thanksgiving by those who believe and who know the truth. For everything God created is good, and nothing is to be rejected if it is received with thanksgiving, because it is consecrated by the word of God and prayer. If you point these things out to the brothers and sisters, you will be a good minister of Jesus Christ, nourished by the truths of the faith and of the good teaching that you have followed. Have nothing to do with godless myths and old wives' tales. Rather, train yourself to be godly. For physical training is of some value, but godliness has a value for all things, holding promise for those for both the present life and life to come. This is a trustworthy saying that deserves full acceptance. That is why we labor and strive, because we have put our hope in the living God, who is the Savior of all people, and especially of those who believe. Thank you.
You may be seated. Thank you, Denise. We did not read Ephesians 6 this morning, but Ephesians chapter 6 is a very clear biblical passage that teaches us that Christians are in spiritual warfare. Most of us know those very familiar words from Ephesians 6, and I quote, "For our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly realms." It's verse 12, NIV translation. Not against flesh and blood, but against spiritual forces of evil in heavenly realms. Are there such things as evil spirits and demonic spirits? Yes. Couple examples. Nyack College, a Christian and Missionary Alliance liberal arts college just up on the Hudson River where the Tappan Zee crosses from the White Plains area on the New York side into Nyack on the Nyack side. And if you're on the White Plains side crossing the Tappan Zee Bridge, looking up on the mountain, you would see Nyack College, Christian College, Evangelical CNMA College. Further up on the mountain, for a number of years, students and visitors and neighbors and kids and people in the Nyack area, sad to say, some students, would go up and they were involved in satanic practices, offering sacrifices and incantations and all kinds of things. I'll jump ahead a little bit in time, and this happened a number of years ago. My brother-in-law, David, Connie's brother David, who is a pastor in Tampa, Florida now, and he was on staff at Nyack College, was dean of students, vice president of the college. He and John Ellenberger. Some of you remember John. He was a missionary to Indonesia. He's retired but went back, finished translating. Part of primitive Stone Age tribe Indonesia. Very involved in spiritism and occult and demonic things, people there. Well, John was on staff at NIAC too, at the same time my brother-in-law Dave was there. And they were involved in seeing a number of people set free from demonic spirits, people that were demonized. One was a girl, a student at NIAC College, who attended the Alliance Church in NIAC, in downtown NIAC. Then it was called Simpson. They've changed their name since, but it's CNMA, Evangelical Bible Believing College. And she attended that church and sang in the choir. Now here's the part I want to paint for you. She was dealt with by my brother-in-law Dave and John Ellenberger, and many, many demons were cast out of this girl. And she attended that church every Sunday and she sang in the choir. And after she was set free from the demons and confessed faith in Jesus Christ, they asked, how could you sing in the choir and sing about Jesus and the blood of Jesus? And her response was, I sang in the choir, but any time the word Jesus came up, I got silent. I would not even say his name. I would never sing about his blood. We sang about the power and the blood of Jesus. If she was in our choir, she would not say those words. A number of years ago, one other quick story. Some of you have heard this one, and some of you are newer. Some of our ladies were dealing with a woman, and they were meeting with her downstairs. And they warned me, and they said, hey, if we need you, can we come and get you? It was going to be during the day, and they knew where my office was. And sure enough, they came in, and they were in the office or the room downstairs dealing with this woman. And I hear somebody, footsteps, coming up the steps, the back steps, and knocking on my door and saying, Pastor, we need you. And so I went down and found a woman slumped over the table in the room downstairs. So in the process of going down and praying, Lord, I don't know what I'm going to find. I need your wisdom here. Give me your words. So I go into the room, and here's the woman that had been dealing with her, and she slumped over the table, just boom, out of the blue. It seemed like she passed out. Well, your first reaction might be, I better call 911, right? Well, that's not what the Lord said to do. The Lord said, lean over her, touch her on the shoulder, and tell her I love her, and rebuke the evil spirits that have taken charge of her body. And that's what I did. Touched her on the shoulder, leaned over, and said, Jesus loves you, and rebuke the evil spirits. She sat right up. And we prayed with her and dealt with the stuff that was going on in her life. This passage in 1 Timothy chapter 4, and by the way, that's just two simple examples. This passage in 1 Timothy 4 sharpens our focus on this spiritual battle and teaches us about deceiving spirits. The question that I pose for us this morning is, how do deceiving spirits wage war against us? This passage focuses on two key areas in life where this battle is the sharpest. And I'm not saying this is an exhaustive area, but two that I'd like to focus on. And these two arenas in life are teaching, or what we believe, and temptation, or the choices that we make as to how we're going to live. My purpose this morning is to look at those two arenas of the battle where deceiving spirits are waging war against us, we who are followers of Jesus. And then second, to be better prepared to fight the battle against those deceiving spirits. So first, let's look at the teaching area of where deceiving spirits are waging war against us. Paul's words in verse 4, such teachings, underscore that, at least in your mind. It's in the context, and it refers back to deceiving spirits, and he uses this phrase, things taught by demons. Got that? Demons teach. Both are very strong statements here, very heavy statements. This is the real world of the supernatural, evil, deceiving spirits, and doctrines that come from demons. Can you handle that? I don't know if all of you can. This takes us to the reality of supernatural, evil, demonic spirits, and deceiving spirits. They exist. Last week, if you were here, you might have caught a phrase that I said, that werewolves exist. Now, some of you may have scoffed that. How did Satan manifest himself to Adam and Eve? A snake. So Satan could choose to take on the form of a snake. Years ago, when I was a pastor in Maryland, we had a missionary from Africa come to our church, and he met with a group of us afterwards, after the worship service. He said, I want to tell you a true story. As a missionary, we were dealing with a group of pygmy people in Africa, and we followed a couple that were heavily involved in occult practices, demonic things, and we followed them into the jungle and watched them. Now, whether you believe me or not, that's fine. I believe the missionary, okay? A Christian, a missionary, Alliance missionary, born again, following Jesus, said that they watched and observed that couple turn themselves into animals. You don't have to believe it. Deceiving spirits, which are Satan's and or the devil's teachers, are active in communicating a body of beliefs that are grounded and established in lies or any untruth that is opposite the truth of Jesus Christ. They are grounded and very active in communicating a body of beliefs / teachings that are grounded and established in lies or any untruth that is opposite the truth of Jesus Christ. It is not surprising then that in John chapter 8 verse 44, Jesus taught us that Satan is the father of lies. Now keep in mind that this teaching from deceiving spirits is established in lies. In lies. But it deceives and appears to be good. You can't miss that. It's like, oh man, that's Satan. I see that Satan, man. But deceiving spirits teach lies that appear to be good. I remind you again that Jesus taught in John 14:6 that he is the way, the truth, and the life. Deceiving spirits use their lies and will do anything in their power to lead us away from Jesus Christ, meaning who he is, what he teaches, how he wants us to live. Deceiving spirits will do anything they can to lead us away from the truth of Jesus, even though on the surface it may appear to be, wow, this is pretty cool, this is pretty neat, this is pretty good. Now, what does this teaching from deceiving spirits really look like in life? Well, take about 2 hours, okay? Well, don't have time for that. So let me just share a couple things. Some of the most common ones, obviously things like antinomianism, which is a theological belief that you can believe in Jesus and live any way you want. That's anti-law, anti-the truth about Jesus. So that looks good. Just come to Jesus and you're going to heaven and live the way you want. That is not Jesus' truth. That is a very subtle, deceptive lie. Certainly, Pharisaical legalism, or the legalism of the Judaizers that we find in Galatians. Yeah, you need to come to Jesus and you need to be saved and you need to be born again. And Jesus died for your sins, but you need to keep the law. Whoa, Pastor. I love the Ten Commandments. Well, Ten Commandments are fine and they have their place, but they're a schoolmaster to lead us to Jesus. And the moment you begin to teach that you need to obey the Ten Commandments to be saved, that's a lie. Now, of course, there are cult teachers, teachings. Cult meaning they basically deny the deity of Jesus. Do you know any religious groups, without me mentioning all their names, that appear to be very religious and they talk about Jesus being a prophet and a good guy and a moral teacher, but they deny that he is God in the flesh, that he is deity? Yes, they are around and they will come knocking at your door and try to sell you literature. They're just espousing a lie. Then, of course, a very common area is the occult. Occult involves anything from secret societies. Pause. Secret societies. That appear to be very good for businessmen, you know. You want to climb the ladder of success in business, just become one of us. And, you know, but you forget to tell you that probably about the seventh level, you're denouncing all kinds of things and claiming allegiance to Satan. What about necromancy? It's a good word to remember. You could talk about this one at lunch, okay? Necromancy. Consulting the dead. You mean people do that? I'll just turn on the TV and you got mediums and people that will talk to your dead uncle or, you know, grandmother or someone, and they play on the heartstrings of people that are grieving, and they say, yeah, come, pay me some money. We'll do this, and we'll sit down, and yep, I hear them. They're there. They're here. They're telling you this, and they know what color underwear you have on today, and you go, wow, how did they know? Seances, necromancy, consulting the dead. Nothing other than deceiving spirits under the category, biblically, of familiar spirits. Familiar spirits know somebody and know their family or know an individual so well that they can tell you, yeah, back 20 years ago, Uncle Joe, he did such and such, and now he's talking to me, you know. They know that so well. Those are some very common ones. But what about subtle ones? Deceiving spirits, their teachings. Paul lists some things here. Godless myths. Godless myths. Godless myths. Things that are imaginary and not founded on fact. You ready? Godless myths, things that are imaginary, not founded on fact, that have their root in demonic lies, deceiving spirits. Santa Claus. Hey, Pastor, you're meddling now. Don't go there. See, I care about you so well. I don't want you to believe in godless myths and deceiving spirits. You say it's harmless. If you think it's harmless, I want to challenge you. Don't believe a word I'm saying. You do a study on elves. elves. Them cute little things, you know, Christmas time and Santa Claus. Really, he was an elf. And I'm telling you, once you find out the truth, not godless myths, you'll burn every Santa Claus in your house. That's a little radical, Pastor. And I joke about, man, I like to shoot all these ones on people's yards with my BB gun. I won't do that. But you say, well, it's just a commercial thing. No, it isn't. You go to the core. Go to the root of it. Then he talks about, and that's just one, I have to mention that one because, you know, that's one of my really big pet peeves. It's just mind-boggling for me how Christians get involved in that. Old wives' tales. Old wives' tales. I go crazy when people do this. What did I just do? Knock on wood. I mean, knock on wood, you know. What in the world is that going to do to change things? Or black cats bring bad luck. Well, there is, and you can study this on your own. There is a direct connection between black cats, white cats, and witchcraft. That's a whole other issue that's up to you to do your study on. And break a mirror in your house and you're going to have 7 years of bad luck. None of you believe that stuff, do you? Old wives' tales. But there is something very fascinating about mirrors and the occult. You may not be aware of this, but people get in bondage, serious emotional, psychological bondage, to looking in a mirror where their whole life is directed by what they see in that mirror. That's a fact. Then Paul brings up this thing about physical training. You're going, Pastor, what in the world? What? Paul brings it up, not me, okay, in this context of deceiving spirits. And he goes, well, physical training, it has some value. You heard that read, right? Physical training has some value, but our spiritual bodies are far more important than our physical bodies. Now, please don't walk out of here saying I'm anti being healthy and exercise and so forth. And I know I need to get back on my cardio glide and need to run a little bit or walk a little. I understand that. But Paul's saying, you know, there's a very dangerous thing that's a very deceptive lie from Satan, that your physical bodies are more important than your spiritual bodies. And I am not suggesting at all Gnosticism and their denial of the physical body and all that kind of stuff, you know, and the danger that can go down that trail. But Paul here is very concerned about being deceived. And we look around at our culture and we have slipped into a culture of, it's all about looks and it's all about your physical well-being and your physical health, and forget about your spiritual life. So deceiving spirits have this body of teaching or this basic belief system that is designed to lead us away from the Lord Jesus Christ. He throws in this very interesting thing that deceiving spirits have a tie with marriage and food. It's like, man, what is he doing here? He says these deceiving spirit teachings will promote that they will actually forbid you to marry and to abstain from certain foods. Do you know any teaching that denies people to marry and to abstain from certain foods? Now, that's a broad category, and I don't want to put names underneath that. That's up to you to decide and to discern. And when someone comes along and they're telling you, man, don't eat meat on Friday, you draw the connection. You connect the dots. Or somebody says, no, you can't marry. You can't get married. You make the connection to whatever group, whatever teaching, whatever seminar, whatever book you read, whatever somebody clicks on TV. I'm telling you, the minute they begin talking about you can't marry until you're a certain age, or you can't marry because of this, this, and this, you need to not eat this, you know. My antennas go up. The red flags are waving for me. Because the next thing you'll be asked to drink or eat will be the Kool-Aid. Okay, second is how they wage war is in the area of temptation. And certainly this is a whole sermon and subject in and of itself. So let me briefly just make a couple comments here. Temptation, or the choices that we make as to how we're going to live. That certainly involves the marriage and the food thing. But in order to really understand this, we have to go back to Genesis chapter 3, verse 4. Mankind's original confrontation with the father of lies and his deception with temptation. God, if you know the story in Genesis 3, commanded Adam and Eve to not eat the fruit of the so-called forbidden fruit of the tree in the garden. And God's word says that they would experience death. Satan, the father of lies, comes along in the form of a serpent and says, no, you will not die. God knows that when you eat of that fruit, your eyes are going to be open and you're going to become like God. And then in verse 6 of that passage, we find Eve believing Satan's lie. Now, if I was really super, super macho, I'd say, you women blew it. But Adam really blew it too. So I'm not blaming it on women. It says, when the woman saw the fruit of the tree was good for food, and here's the key word, pleasing to the eye, and most desirable for gaining wisdom, she took some and ate it. And then, of course, we know that Adam, happy life is a happy wife. And said, I'm going to eat that stuff too. Well, they were tempted through the deceiver to disobey truth from God. And they satisfied their natural desires. And yes, they did experience death. Not physical death right there, but death came into the human race, and then eternal death, eternal separation, eternal damnation. What happened here, and this is all under what we're talking about this morning, deceiving spirits, and they bring temptation this way. The deceiver made untruth very palatable. Oh, it looks so good. It can't be bad. So deceiving spirits will tempt us with promises that God's way is not really true, and that what we need, really need in the moment of time when we are being tempted, what we really need is to not obey God and do what will satisfy our physical desires at that given moment. Like Satan with Eve, the forbidden fruit looks so pleasing and it sounds like a better deal than what God has to offer. And it's at that moment when the temptation gets so overwhelming that we who are followers of Jesus need to recognize, certainly there it's catering to our physical desires, but there is a force, there is an evil force, an evil spirit outside of ourselves that's making it look even more acceptable and doable and palatable. That's why at the core of substance abuse, it's more than just the physical desire or the physical addiction that caters to man's need. I need that hit. I need that high. I need that escape. There are lying spirits that say, no, you can do it. Just one more time. You can handle it. You can handle one more hit. You know, whatever. One more, whatever it is, just go for it. And don't believe that what they've been telling you at this Christian rehab or whatever you've heard or whatever book you've read, just go for it. Or you really need it. You really deserve this right now. Yes. Ethical choices that promise us gain, but are acts of disobedience to God's truth. I can't help but mention this one, and that's in the light of our upcoming elections, and I'm not here to push the political agenda per se. We're talking about deceiving spirits, okay? Deceiving spirits that teach lies, that make things sound so good. This is the decision that you need to make right now, and this whole issue of abortion, the lie that it's not a baby. The lie that you can't raise this child. The lie, the lie, the lie. The best thing to do is to abort the baby. Could involve murder. Could involve stealing. And certainly what we addressed last week was real men live sexually pure lives. It involves sexual choices. Maybe you have heard the whispers of those deceiving spirits who subtly begin to creep into your thought life that's not of you. It's not you. No, I don't want to go there. I don't want another woman. I don't want another man. But the thoughts come, and here it comes very subtly. Mark my word. And what happens is that you begin to compare your spouse to someone else. If you only knew my wife, if you only knew my husband, but see her, see him, man, wow. And you begin to entertain those deceiving, lying thoughts that that person's better than your spouse. Of course, the substance abuse choices. And then this whole area of looking into the mirror, that we are such a self-indulgent society that when you look into that mirror, what do you see? You see your face and you go, wow, I am the coolest dude going. And pride begins to come in. And the lies of Satan come. You're the greatest. You're the best. And arrogance. I'm the greatest gift to women, or I'm the greatest gift to men. Or you look in the mirror, and the counter of that is, I just see a mess. I am just no good. And Satan's lie comes. You're worthless. And you go, I am nothing. And Satan's beginning to trick you that you really are nothing. And you're just dumb, and you have no talents, and maybe you shouldn't even be alive. Just go take your life. End it all. And I'm telling you this morning, I believe this with all my heart. There's nothing you can do to convince me otherwise. That the moment suicide enters your thoughts, there's a lie from Satan whispering to you, there's no hope, just end it all. How are you doing in the war? Let's summarize. 1 Timothy 4 teaches us the reality of deceiving spirits. And those teachings come in various forms that I've just outlined. The occult, the cult, and so forth. Godless myths and old wives' tales. And then the whole area of temptation. Let me quickly add, do not believe the lie that temptation is just in and of yourself. Well, certainly, we get tempted. But remember Adam and Eve, they were tempted by Satan. Eve listened to a lie. So this was a force outside of herself. I'm not saying that all temptation is demonic at its source, but so often it is. You can be victorious over deceiving spirits. You can be victorious. Remember that demonic deception exists, and test everything through the truth of Jesus Christ and His Word. Now, this morning in closing, I don't know, Mark, do you have that slide?
I do.
Okay, we're going to recite a prayer together to end our worship time. I'm going to ask you to stand, and Mark's going to put it up on the board, or up on the screen there. As soon as he gets it.
It's in several slides, Pastor.
Pardon?
It's in several slides.
Oh, okay. So you're just going to go through it. Okay, you can put the first one up. Oh, okay. That looks like a title to me. I'm upside down here. I'd like you to recite this as a prayer. Remember the girl at Nyack College that sang in the choir and she couldn't say the words Jesus and the blood of Jesus until she was set free? So this morning, I want you to read this. We're going to read it together. We're going to say it together as a prayer from our heart. You ready? Dear Heavenly Father, the sovereign creator of all, the great I am, I know that you desire truth in the inner self. I confess your word as truth, and that Jesus Christ is my Savior and Lord, and the way, the truth, and the life. I recognize that Satan is the father of lies and the prince of this world. I acknowledge that Jesus Christ has defeated the enemy through his shed blood and the power of his resurrection. In Jesus Christ's name, I command all deceiving spirits to depart from me. I ask the Holy Spirit to fill me and guide me into truth and to teach me to live as salt and light. I ask the Lord to reveal to me any false teachings to which I may have been knowingly or unknowingly involved. I denounce them in Jesus' name. I give praise to you, Lord. Amen. Amen. I trust that that's your prayer, your heart's desire this morning. I'm going to ask you again to give Linda and Stephanie a moment to get to the back, and then you can greet them. We are dismissed.